The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Thank you for listening to Spin, the Rally Pod, brought to you by Dirtfish Rally School. For your chance to experience life behind the wheel of a rally car, head to drive.dirtfish.com to find the course that's right for you. What are you waiting for? We're right here waiting for you.
Well, hello, Dirtfish Rally friends, and welcome back to Spin the Rally Pod. This one is a post-Monte Carlo rally, Spin the Rally Pod, and, well, we're in a very special place. We've made what's now becoming a bit of a traditional pilgrimage to Torino to see our favourite, our absolute favourite, brain of rallying, our favourite man in the whole world, Andrea Adamo. Andrea, it's lovely to be here in your hometown in this beautiful little cellar bar talking rallying with the most knowledgeable rally man in the world, David Evans.
That's just rude, isn't it?
You know, I'm living like roller coaster with calling.
Yeah. Always up friends and then enemies.
And no, I love you. Know I love you, Andrea, and I love the opportunity that we get to talk to you because you know what? I'm slightly facetious when I say brain of rallying, but you know more about rallying than anyone I know. That is for sure. So someone like me who likes to learn, because I know my knowledge gap is there, it is just great to be able to sit and talk to you. Genuinely, you're looking at me with a look that says, you're talking, no, don't look at you.
It's true.
Look at that.
Don't be intimidated. But it's true, though, because, you know, immediately, as soon as we met you at the hotel tonight, when you've arranged this fabulous restaurant and everything for us, and we took the taxi into town. It's great. And we started talking about the fight between 2 or 3 and is this a positive or a negative? And you, Andrea, immediately, from the start, from the Voldegard and Danish event in 79?
Yes, sir.
In 79, all the way through every year.
Every year. And it was astonishing. And I was listening to it thinking, my goodness, he knows
and literally
everything.
Every year.
No, not everything. I don't pretend to know everything. But, you know, it's just as I was following a bit, honestly a bit, I have to say, the event, no? But what I immediately noticed is that there was a nice fight between initially 3, then 2 drivers mostly. And I was thinking, and now don't get me wrong, because I know there will be many bad comments, etc. They say, in the end, Monte Carlo, most of the time has been remembered and famous and followed because there were big 2 guns fight, you know. I was listing many, and also some of which I was there. And in the end, you know, we have big memories of no, Roll Vatanen in 85, and I was, you know, Oriol and Sainz and Delacour, things like that, you know, also recently. And okay, it's good to have big entries. Don't get me wrong, I'm for many cars because I know that, you know, with you, it's in immediately a few seconds, I will be a bad guy. we need more cars, all this kind of stuff. But there were years with many entries. And we had very boring Monte Carlo rally, with all respect to our friend Seb, 2005. Don't get me wrong again, no, but just sometimes we have to, and for me it's easy now, because I'm not involved absolutely, so I'm trying to see the things from far. No? In Italy we say, let's not pull away the dirt wash and the children. No, let's try to save something out of everything and
throw away the children with the dirty
water.
That's it. Throw away the baby with the bathwater.
Okay, sorry. No, you know, true. I'm a poor Italian immigrant that doesn't speak English very well.
So wash your head. Sorry.
Lots of spritzers are being delivered to the
this
table.
Is great. Where's our cameraman? Look, you've got to get some pictures of this to go with our podcast. Just to set the scene, I didn't describe it very well. We are in a beautiful little traditional Torino bar on a Sunday evening. Lots of people around just chatting, families meeting up. And we have taken a traditional Torino drink. Well, I don't know if it's Torino. But it's
don't say Torino, because you're living in a way. I live in Italy, and if you say that spritz is typical Torino, I can be killed by Veneto people.
So where is
there
it?
There are buses ready to come here and kill me.
But it's just lovely. We're just sitting chewing the fat with our little drinks, and we.
I just think we need to jump in, Colm.
Go on.
And just ask Andrea how, in your vast memory of Monte Carlos, from what we saw, how complicated was this one in terms, because, you know, we came in, you know, when we saw you in Torino last Tuesday, we were saying, it's very straightforward, very straightforward.
No, it's going to be that easy.
It's just a tarmac rally. How complex
was this
one?
I let you say, because I know that
you
in
knew
Monta
how stupid
not,
we were.
No,
exactly.
It's not that I'm always the one saying no. I know that in Monta it's never like this. No,
but how complicated compared to other Montes was this
Let me
one?
Say like this. I permitted myself...
But first,
We permit you to say what you like.
No, but when you ask me who may win, I say Neville, because I was seeing a bit the stages. And I remember that Thierry in this kind of mixed condition has always been the best. I will be always the one who will memory the stage number two in 2020, when in one stage he was winning the stage by something like 25 seconds
it's
in mixed condition.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that in these mixed conditions, with a limited number of super soft and soft tires, as they were limited, it would be the one that would be able to manage these tricky conditions the best. And the fact I think it was winning the rally in these conditions, if I permit to say, you were following, you were there much more. And the tarmac Monte Carlo, in my opinion, is the more complicated Monte Carlo respect to the one that you have with the full snow.
Yeah. Well,
ice,
yeah,
absolutely.
In my
full
opinion.
Snow is straightforward. You take the stern.
Or, you know, you have stages with snow or you have stages with tarmac.
Yeah.
Okay, alternate what you do, mix.
But, tarmac,
but at least
tarmac,
it's
tarmac,
along
ice,
the stage, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
When you have ice that is melting down, again coming, and this and that, it's tricky. In mountain, I come from mountain, you know, and I remember in the winter, sometimes we have out of the blue after a corner, a very frozen road that may create problems. And this is Monte Carlo in the end, it's the beauty. It's why years ago there was an Italian guy with a bag full of money traveling around the municipal local villages asking to salt the road.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to apologize if you hear the odd crunching sound. What do we call these?
Bruschetta. No, bruschetta. Bruschetta.
Bruschetta.
CH in Italian is a K.
Yeah.
Chianti, not Chianti.
Chianti.
Bruschetta. I can only apologize.
So we've had some bruschetta delivered to the table.
As long as you not complain my English. Absent.
Never.
It's enough my sister to complain. I don't need you to have the
We would never complain, Andrea Damo. No, they have delivered these lovely little bruschettas, and they are quite crunchy.
Yeah.
I was going to ask before you got absolutely dived into the bruschettas whether we should have bruschettas, but seeing as you've tucked into it, David Evans.
Yes, well, no, I think I'll hold the bruschetta for a minute.
Yeah, hold it for a minute. So, Andrea, you did fancy a win for Thierry Neuville on this one, and you were once again proven to be right.
And second,
you said it many times when you were in charge at Hyundai that Neuville delivered results that the car didn't deserve because of his tenacity, his fighting ability, his battling ability. He gets better and better in that sense because he's learning as he goes along. So we'll still see that fighting, battling ability, but he seems to be able to judge, you know, a little more when to push, when not to push, when to take those risks. This morning, for example, you know, in that opening stage, he was utterly brilliant, you know, through the opening stage. And he basically said to Ogier, you know, it's mine. But he took risks in there, and he knew that that was the stage to lay down the marker for the day. And I think he is maturing as a driver and not losing.
Is there a question
edge.
To me?
No, I just think he's
First race we did together, Monte Carlo 19, with the car that, in my opinion, was far away still in those days. He was basically... he lost the rally, the last stage in power stage, by a few seconds. I think very few tenths, I guess, even more. So.
Yeah, he said in 19 he lost by less than two. In 20 he won by less than two.
No, he won by more than two, because it was the day that in the last four stages it was 2+2 with the. A group in the middle. It was catching up and
send him a message, tell him he's wrong.
To remind him.
But you know, he has many things in his mind. I have much less than him. So
true. But he was the one for you. Like Cole said, you know, from the outset, you knew what was coming in terms of you had a.
But in Monte Carlo, he's always been fast. Let's say this. We have to admit, he's always been fast. In 2017, he was leading by far, and he had. There's a slide that broke the suspension.
A high-speed slide, didn't he?
Into on the left-hander.
Yeah.
But that was him.
Long
way. At that time, he was impetuous, and he was, for me, he hadn't developed as
That's
a driver.
My point. That's the point and that I was coming to. He has. He 100% has.
Yeah, for sure. But it's 7 years older, and I think everyone has to improve in 7 years, and he did with style, in my opinion. Let's hope that he will not... he will be... as consistent as he has been in Monte Carlo along the year, not from time to time. Sometimes he lost a bit of it.
Yeah. So here's a quick question, because I'm not allowed to offer comment, according to David Evans. We asked Thierry at the end of the event, you know, was this maybe your finest win? It's got to rank somewhere up there. Where do you reckon it sits? You've been there for a lot of his wins. In terms of the quality of this win, where does it sit?
Ypres 21.
He said Ypres.
He did.
But why is that? Is that because of the fight?
Because it was far ahead of each and everyone. It was always in total control.
But didn't we expect that for a lad from Belgium?
I know many Italians in the past that was not good in Sanremo, so it doesn't mean that
but Colin McRae was a bit Richard Burns, unbeatable.
Yeah, I think that Colin McRae also destroyed many cars in there. So,
but between 94 and 2000. Okay, it's not many years.
Why are you arguing with the brain of the WRC?
No, you can, because I also made mistakes, but also, you know, I think that... also, the fact is that Colin, he won many times. Chapeau to him, I like him a lot. But I don't think that the team principal in those days was relaxed seeing him in the stages.
No.
Honestly, I'm not going to say that I was relaxed, because that would be quite a bad way of saying it. But if you were looking at him, or you can still see now on YouTube or each and every side, he was in total control. I think I never saw him in any rally so sure what he was doing, but really in total control.
We talked to him this morning, because the first one this morning, the onboard from the first stage this morning, it looked to me wild. You know, he was deeper into the cuts, carrying more speed through most of the corners. He looked absolutely outrageously quick at times. And we said to him, were you taking a big risk? And he said, no. He said, I've had one moment and the whole event where I almost outbraked myself, but still got into the corner. But it just looked sensational this morning. The speed, you know, it was a marked difference, I think.
It really was. How important, Andrea, do you think it was in terms of the dynamic within the team? Because for sure, he's won the rally, so obviously there was more attention on Thierry than there was on Oyt this weekend. He was just presenting himself. His chest was out, his shoulders were back. He was standing tall. He looked as if he was saying, I am leading this team. This is my team.
Well, do you think? You know, it's true that a long rally as Monte Carlo has been, and it is, the more you go ahead, the more you see that you are competitive, the more you get also self-confidence. We also have seen, forgive me, in the case, the opposite thing. Someone who was leading, that as soon as he had some problems, looks like he was also losing a bit of confidence. Maybe he's seen that the wind was slipping through his fingers, and so he was thinking at the big picture of the championship. And now this new point system that I not get it, but was, how could I say, thinking at the big picture, let me say, you know? But I really, after Thursday night, that everyone was already preparing their final result, and I asked a few messages, people telling me, I say, Monte Carlo is long.
Was that you?
friends. Honestly, I have to admit, Thursday night I forgot to follow it because I was so focused on my 131 Abarth model car.
Yes. Oh, the engine. Yeah. Yeah. You said beautiful piece.
So I have to admit, forgive me for this, but I was really with my mind on other thing. But then when I follow it, but I was not impressed by the lead of each and everything. In Monte Carlo, we have seen in many years, on top of anything else, Monte Carlo, no? Maybe Safari is the other one like this, forgive me to say. And then again, Monte Carlo delivered the perfect story, in my opinion, no? And you know, Monte Carlo can bring everything. We've seen in the past many things.
You look only, I mean, we talked history a lot. The most extreme story in the history of our sport, potentially, is 85, yeah. Isn't it? You know, with Ari and what happened to him, to lose all that time, to come back to essentially win the rally twice.
Don't get me wrong. 85, yes. 86, Toivonen. He crashed the car
and
against
the chassis was twisted.
Banana, yeah. Chassis, you remember? Yeah. Yeah. He was back, he catch up also, yeah. With tire strategy.
Yeah.
Oriol 92.
Yeah.
I don't permit to say we because it was a small goofer, but you know, Pirelli fitted the slick tires up to the sister room. And Lancia went up, Martini Racing, sorry, in 92.
Yeah.
Went up with studded tires. And on top, the clutch was fitted with the problem, so he also had problem with the clutch, so it was difficult for him to manage. So he was leading by far, and Sainz was lost with the new Toyota. At the end of the stage, Sainz was leading. But also in these days, you see people confident, no? Mm-hmm. And Oriol was so confident in what he get that he was able to pass. So we have seen so many catching up that you say,
yeah.
Without mention Delecour 91.
Well, quite. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, a wonderful history lesson for me, this. I love it because it is a history lesson for me. My knowledge before 2002, you know, is a little bit thin, but I do like to learn. And hearing these great stories for me
you should go back and look at Delacour in 91.
I should.
It was the last stage.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But he did go off, didn't he? He did.
Well, in those days, there were not camera cars and things like this. I think that we pretend that I'm not here to save no one, but let me say a few things. The rear suspension arms were designed in a strange way, and the uniball around which the suspension arms were moving, the front external one, was a bit strange way of.
He had rear suspension failure in the last stage.
And he arrived at the end of the stage with the suspension rip off. Let me say, the suspension was not there.
Wow.
And he was shouting, "Je patape, je tatape," everyone. Blah, 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 blah.
And the Radio Monte Carlo commentator was just hysterical. Just going, absolutely phenomenal.
Stage end reporter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all the emotion my time.
Worse than you and Julian Porter. And basically, instead, looks like I've been told also by Sierra Mizon that they were not there, but they knew from inside after, that in a test they had a similar problem after.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, and they understood that it was the uniball rod that if was fit in a particular way was weak and then it can break. And so could be that it didn't crash actually.
Yeah.
So
but you know, crash, not crash, whatever it is, it was so hard for it. Okay, I was happy because Biasion was second in the end. So okay.
But the scenes at the end of the stage, I remember watching on TV with Delacour just holding his head. You know, he's such a passionate guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this was his first
time. I have to tell you, I remember more Anna crying.
Yeah.
Who was crying?
The co-driver.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And Chantal.
Powell,
yeah.
She was crying like that. This is what keeps. You know, Delacour was shouting, so it was the show one. Everyone was watching him. But I remember she crying.
Yeah.
But
it's what it's about, isn't it?
How many years on are we? 91, 01, 30 odd years, more than 30 years, and instantly we can go back to that, you know, and meet.
It's Monte Carlo, you know, that is another.
But why do we remember these things? It is the human stories.
Totally.
It is the human stories that we remember. I mean, yeah, it is. We do think about the cars and the wonderful cars and the tremendously evocative names when you bring up the Lancias and all the rest. But it is the human stories that you remember in these situations.
Yeah, it's Monte Carlo. Sorry, more than other rallies, Monte Carlo has been won by teams, strategy, management, the tire change in the middle of the stage.
Yeah.
The way you were tracing the roads, the way you put the proper services, the way you knew exactly before and each of anyone else
where you put the salt, going. Where you
these are yeah,
where you pour the water, where you put the salt.
It's a game strategy. No?
Well, it is. It,
because where you get the fans to shovel the snow on.
But also this, because you know, everyone tells me, with the budget, I can list many teams with lots of budget that they were not capable of with.
Yeah.
Because budget is important, but you know, if you don't know how to spend it to win, it's useless.
Yeah, absolutely right.
All rallying, one source. By now, you know that dirtfish.com is the place to go for all of your rallying news. But when it's time to try your hand behind the wheel, just join us here at Dirtfish Rally School, nestled in the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington. Whether you're a pro seeking extra seat time or a novice looking to get started, we've got programs tailored to all rallying needs. And when you want to watch the best in the world, just head over to our YouTube channel. Our coverage of the WRC and American rallying is second to none. Follow us at Dirtfish Rally across all social media platforms and shop the latest looks in our merchandise store now. As always, rally on.
Let's go back to this year's Monte Carlo.
Sorry. Sometimes I bring the stuff aside and let's go back to our tracks.
Great start from Thierry Neuville, obviously. You know, let's talk about this year's title challengers. It is Neuville. It is Tanak. It is Elvin Evans. Let's jump straight to Elvin Evans because he had an interesting rally. You know, it started well and then it fell off a cliff. And I'm sure you've had a good look at his performance out there this weekend, Andrea. Need he be worried? Should Jari Matti Latvala be worried? Because Evans is their best chance for a title this year.
I've been improved a lot, so before to share my thoughts, I have to say I like Elfin a lot. I remember his dad with the Sierra, so I really think he's a nice guy. He built up an amazing career, and I really think he has done, also when I was there, amazing rallies. Amazing. 2020, when he moved in 2019 with the Fiesta, he did Corsica amazingly. So he's capable of do amazing rallies. But I think that this year, Hyundai will win the driver championships because there are two contenders and they are both in Hyundai. So being alone, they cannot arrive second. And I have to say, I'm sorry, but I think Toyota lost a bit. I don't know if they get surprised. They get, how could I say, not prepared. But for the driver's title, they are out of contention. Because, against the Thierry and the Hoyt that we have now, I cannot see Elfin doing it. For sure, he will do rallies. Okay, now I have I know I will be hated by many people, bad comments. I know, I'm ready to it. I was ready before, so you can imagine now. Nothing worse than before. But I know he will win rallies being untouchable, but there are 13 rallies, 12 left.
Do you think that this continuing policy from Toyota about no team orders, do you think that's a bit silly considering the situation and the handicap they start the year with, which is just one lead driver against two really strong drivers in the opposition? Do you think it's a bit silly?
So do you think they should have pulled Ogier to one side? What
I think they should do is consider it, maybe not today, because it would have been difficult with Ogier here in Monte Carlo, but it's something that, you know, when we go to Kenya, when we go to other rallies,
it's,
you know,
to say,
no, we just will not indulge in this.
You
seems
are,
to me a little
make
bit
the
silly.
Question to the wrong person.
No, I want to ask you, you are the king of strategy.
I'm not the king of strategy.
You and Alain.
The team
that I
was working with was the king of strategy.
Okay, but we've not got the other people here, but we've got you.
What would you have done in Monte Carlo here?
I don't know exactly how is the point system. I have to say. So
you've come to the right place. We're experts. No, we're not.
No, I don't know. But, you know, you have to see the global picture. Yeah. It's clear that if I have one gun, I use it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it.
And you load it with whatever bullets you've got.
You would have put Ogier to one side because Elvin.
If it's needed.
But maybe you should have done yesterday for the points. I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe I would have done.
So if we were in the old point system last year, you would have said to Ogier, you will slow down. You will let Elvin pass.
Yes.
But this is a difficult thing because you had to swap them around yesterday. I don't know. Today is only a point between second and third.
The whole philosophy, Andreas said, yes, he would. And that's it.
Yeah. But yesterday, you could still have won. You could still have won. So you couldn't have done it yesterday.
That is the crux of this points issue.
But today, it was clear after the first.
Yeah, but there's only a point in that. You're in second and
then
third.
Then, of course, there is another stuff.
We go back to 2009.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's only a point
with,
in it.
With today's system, as long as I understood, to get points, you need to go faster. So if you don't go faster, you cannot relate each other.
For me, it's a general question. Is it a little bit naive and a little bit foolish to actually lay your stall out at the start of the year and say, we absolutely will not indulge in team orders?
Everyone manages the team in the things in the way he thinks is better. Then at the end of the day, you have also to accept the results of your decision. Because the decision that Toyota was managing before, it helped in the past us, when I was younger, and recently was possible to manage it because they were quite better in terms of car performance, team, etc. No? But even in this case, I came up with the mentality of people I was working with, that even in years where Ferrari was leading with the car technology by far, they asked Barrichello to step aside. Because you never know in motorsport what is going to happen.
You
never consider nothing for granted. Because in 92, consider the things for granted. Without playing a bit, Sainz won the title. Mm. And no one was seeing Toyota coming so fast at the end of the year.
2005, was it 5 or was it 6 that Loeb fell off his bike and missed the last?
6.
6, you know. I mean, nobody knew that was going to happen. So, he could have lost the title because of that.
The biggest one is, you look back to 2009, and when Malcolm didn't swap Latvala and Hirvonen in Sardinia. But equally, you talked to Malcolm about it, and Malcolm said, look, Latvala had just come off the back of that enormous accident in Portugal. And it was the next event. He was winning Sardinia. He said that was the perfect way to rebuild his confidence.
Because Malcolm is a nice person.
But at that time, potentially, that was the right decision because it could have...
Malcolm is a nice person.
As you said earlier, you have to live with the choices that you make and the decisions you make. And Malcolm lives with that. Yeah. Well, he didn't win the title that year, but he knows that in his eyes that was the right decision.
At that time, it was exactly the right decision.
Absolutely. Let's talk then about M Sport. We've talked about the other two teams. Andrea, difficult year ahead for M Sport, I guess. But for Mo and Munster, two young drivers with limited experience, and both of them showed quite well, in my opinion, this weekend. Particularly, I'd have to say, for Mo, because for Mo was a bit of a hothead, wasn't he? When he was driving the... Well, it wasn't the Rally 1. Was it Rally 1 car, wasn't it? It was 2 years ago, of course it was. A little bit of a hothead. Made some rash decisions that ended badly for him. But I think we saw a different Formo, and we saw real potential with young Munster out there this weekend.
I have to say that, in my opinion, both M Sport drivers have done great. Because Adrian, when he found himself... far from it, so far ahead of Andreas, it would be stupid from his side to push and race with so difficult roads. We have seen many made mistakes there. Mm. And he was passing through stages, getting experience, etc., etc. So I think Adrian has done an amazing rally. Mm. Munster has been, honestly, not lucky, but lucky or not lucky, you have to finish. So he did crash and he did also some decent times. It was far ahead respect to what I would expect from him. I have to admit this absolutely. But in my opinion, it's not M Sport, but just to go back, for me, who has done an amazing rally, and I would never expect him to do it, it's Katsuta. That is not M Sport, I know. But looking at the times he did time to time, okay, he has a crash, whatever you want. But also in the power stage, where the others were good, he did a very strong stage. Also in others, he did great stages.
Sorry, do you not get frustrated with Katsuta? We love him. We absolutely love him. And he's probably, if we had a little poll here, he'd probably be our favourite driver. But just because he's such a nice guy. But I get frustrated with him because we know that he's got that ability. You know, that power stage performance, we know he can do that.
I didn't.
But
I admit he didn't.
He struggles. He struggles to put it together, and it's a little frustrating in my view.
He's coming. It's coming.
You know, do you think it is?
Of course it is.
But we've seen it for a while, David.
Consistently, he did that speed in Japan. That was incredible. I think the other question, we need to end because we do have a fabulous restaurant to go to.
I've got one more question for
you. So, Andreas Mikkelsen, what are your thoughts? You know Andreas very well.
Did you employ him? Did you employ him at Hyundai?
The opposite.
Ah. Oh, nice one, Carl.
You sacked him.
Unbelievable. So, what did you think of him? I'm sorry for my colleague putting you on the spot terribly. It was delightfully put, though, the opposite.
I told you, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
No, I like Andrea a lot personally, but in my life, I always been able, always, most of the time, and is why also maybe I was not loved, to split clearly. Personal feeling, personal relationship, and the job. And sometimes people do not do the same. And I think that the passion and all these things has to be separated when you are a team leader, whatever you do. And so is why I was so hard and people do not like me when I was working. And now they tell me, but you are a nice person. I say, yeah, but this is Andrea Adamo. There I was Adamo, the responsible of a team that has only one target, that is winning. So I have to take the best of everything. That's why I told you, I swap position. I don't care a lot. Because I grew up in teams where the main target was winning and get the best out of every team. Lampinen was sucked by Fiorio because it was not fast enough. Mm-hmm. But it was such a nice guy. Yeah. But you know, rally and motorsport and life is not a sport where you win if you have a nice white smile.
Yeah. People really tell you you're a nice guy.
Me? The one I pay to tell me that, yes. But time to time, I need the self-confidence.
I'm Kellen Koschel, and I just did my first Dirtfish course, which was the one-day women's course. My biggest surprise was how calm it could be in the car, and the calmer I was, the faster I could make the car go. The surprising thing about driving was that it wasn't necessarily a mental thing. I had to really get out of my head and into my body more, and I just felt a little more comfortable doing that for the first time around a group of women. But I will say, I do feel like I could do any of the Dirtfish courses now. I kind of know what to expect, and you know, hopefully more women get into motorsports, and then any day could be an all-women's day if just enough of us are in the sport. If I were talking to someone who was thinking about taking a class, but was kind of on the fence, it would be, you know, what are you waiting for? It's such a fun experience. You're going to really learn something, and you're going to push your limits, and maybe you'll even have some more confidence.
Last question. Well, listen, you're gonna hate me for this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You mentioned some unbelievable names this evening. We've been right through the history of rallying from the early 80s right through to 2024. You did mention this guy's name, Carlos Sainz. Just a final word for Carlos Sainz. 62 years old and winning the toughest rally on earth, the Dakar Rally.
Did you go to the Dakar call?
Just a word, Andrea, while we've got you here, because, you know, what did you make of that performance from Carlos Sainz?
I don't comment the performance in Dakar, because he has done an amazing thing. It's the concept that I don't think is fair. But I met him, I worked with him in one test years and years ago, and I told myself, if I will someone in motorsport, working in motorsport really, I want to have the bad willingness of win that he has. Because trust me, it was the toughest guy I work with, but the one that was waking up in the morning with only one target, win. And you can see from his eyes that only one thing mattered from him, win. And I said, Mamma mia, I want to be in my work as Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, he's quite inspirational. You know, when I find myself complaining about my bad back and my tired limbs and my slightly fried brain, I think about Carlos Sainz, who's 10 years older than me. And get in your seat.
Elliot Gumpenny Bowl, please. Sorry.
Go. He's quite strong,
okay,
isn't
he? Okay. Sorry, we are having
we're having a fight now. We're going to call this one because, as David rightly said, we've got a wonderful restaurant booked next door. Andrea, it has been a delight. We do keep saying this every time we have you on Spin the Rally Pod. Yeah. We need more of you.
But every time, every time that we meet, we are around a glass of wine, a glass of something, things like this. So the day that we make an interview in a cold place, I want to see your real opinion. As long as we have meetings in warm places around a glass of wine like this, it's too easy for you to say that, you know?
Yeah, but you're such a challenging person to debate anything.
Yeah, but that's great. It is great.
No, but it's lovely. It's lovely to have it over glass.
I'm a poor Italian retired.
Immigrant who's English, is poor and lives in Germany. I once lived in. I get all that. Andrea, it has been a joy. Your views are always, always wonderful to listen to. Yeah. Thank you very much for your time
welcome.
This evening.
And thank you for passing by. I tell you, for all the life I will have to live and has been decided that I will have, I will owe you a lot because I remember that when I just finished and you removed my needle from my arm, you were the one who passed by to say hello to me. And as long as I will have a brief, I will owe you a lot.
You don't owe us a single thing. That's what friends do.
It's always
do.
A pleasure.
That is what friends
always
do, Andrea Adamo.
Yeah.
Don't get meebling and emotional now, because that's not fair.
That Collins not had fair. A spritzer. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen. But that is what friends do.
Yeah.
Don't
and
ever forget
a,
that.
It was our pleasure.
It was totally our pleasure. And not just a pleasure, but an honour, because it's always...
Yeah.
You know, you are... For someone who is so at times intimidating, frightening, imposing, all those things, you're a humble guy. And actually, I think at times you don't understand. You don't understand the fact where we hold you, that pedestal that we put you up on.
You put me on that pedestal, sir.
Never. I put you on that little blooming gnome stool down on the ground. But it's always a joy, Andrea.
Yeah.
It really is always a joy.
And the rest of waiting.
Stop the rest of waiting. Folks, thank you very much. You have been listening
thank
once
you
again.
Thank you for everyone was listening.
The
sorry
board.
For the
What
bad
we'd love
noises.
To hear, by the way, folks, as always, your comments. Leave your comments below in the comments section. Go to our website. Go to our Twitter page, X, whatever you want to call it, our Facebook page. Leave some comments. Do you want to see more of Andrea Adamo?
No, please, I'm retired.
Less of Andrea Adamo. Let us know below. Folks, thank you very much. You have been listening to Spin the Rally Pod.